Gospel lesson for tonight comes from the familiar words of Luke chapter 2. Listen once more to the Christmas story. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration, and it was taken while Quirinius was governor of Syria. All went to their own towns to be registered. Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, called Bethlehem, because he was descended from the house and the lineage of David. Joseph went to be registered with Mary, to whom he was engaged and who was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for her to deliver her child, and she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in bands of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in that region there were shepherds living in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I am bringing you good news of great joy for all the people. To you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a child wrapped in bands of cloth and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace among those whom He favors." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. On January 26th, 1905, Captain Frederick Wells was doing his regular rounds of the Cullinan Mine, which was a mine located outside of Pretoria, South Africa. As he walked, he looked up and he saw a flash of light reflected by the sun as it fell on the wall of the mine shaft. Now, he first thought it was a piece of glass, something which the workers were known to do as a practical joke on their bosses. But when he went closer, Wells saw that it was a partially exposed crystal. So he carefully removed it with his pocket knife, and upon examination, he realized he had just discovered the largest diamond in the world, a specimen of over 3,100 carats, weighing 1 1/3 pounds. So it was named the Cullinan Diamond. And eventually the owners made the decision that they wanted to present this rare jewel as a birthday gift to King Edward VII, the King of England. But now news of a discovery like this travels fast. And so the question was, how does one safely get a precious gem halfway around the world? Now, here's the part of the story I love. Under heavy security and with much fanfare, a decoy stone was sent back to England on a steamship, and the real Cullinan Diamond was mailed to Britain in a plain brown paper box. It was registered, but it was still a brilliant deception nonetheless. There were soldiers and sailors, there were armed detectives and stealthy jewel thieves, all active over here, while there, the world's largest diamond made its way to England in a small brown package. This amazing diamond was handled by postal workers and mail carriers as if it was nothing special, even though it was the most precious thing in the world. Of all the nights in the year, tonight is made for a story like this one of the Cullinan Diamond, Because the Christmas story we just heard from Luke's Gospel has much the same character. Think again of the opening lines. In those days, a decree went out from Emperor Augustus that all the world should be registered. The story begins with the spotlight on the capital city of ancient Rome. Caesar, seated on a golden throne, one who had the power to demand that his subjects line up and be counted so that they could be drafted or taxed or both. In picturing Caesar's power and realm, we might review the borders of his kingdom and notice off to the side humble Judea in the southeast corner. But honestly, there's almost nothing over there of note. And then the second line from the passage. This registration took place when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Now again, the story's focus and spotlight is now on courts of power, upon the governor's mansion. Although for some reason Luke then leaves that personage and decides to talk about one man from one small clan in Israel who makes a journey of about 70 miles with his pregnant wife. All the world cared about was the gold of Rome and the armor of Caesar's soldiers and Quirinius's guard. But over there, as if in a plain brown package, a child was born, not to power, but in poverty. A child, a Christmas diamond, the likes of which had never before been seen in the world. Now, could they have sent the Cullinan diamond by steamship with an armored guard under high security directly to King Edward VII in England? Of course. But then they would have been relying on the ways of the world, the ways of force, of weaponry, of power. And on some level, they knew that those ways were always less than perfect. And so the owners of the diamond chose a different way, a way of fundamental trust, postmen, and plain brown packages. Could the Son of God been born in a palace, heralded by gold trumpets from the towers of a king's stronghold? Of course. But that would have caused Jesus to be defined by the world standards, as if gold and armor were the highest truths in the world. Jesus, the Christmas gift, came in a plain brown wrapper on a back street in ancient Bethlehem. And he came to challenge, to subvert, and thankfully, to save the world. A pastor was leading his confirmation class on a Bible study that talked about the baptism of Jesus Christ. And the students were looking at Mark chapter 1. When their eyes fell on an unusual verse that says, as Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens opened. Now the pastor, a good seminary graduate, is quick to say, well, the verb, the Greek verb for opened, is actually a much stronger word than that. And it says, in effect, the heavens were torn apart, so that now all the people of the world had access to God in heaven at last. But one of the wise students in the class challenged the pastor and said, no, that's not what the verse means. It isn't that we now have access to God. It's rather that God now has access to us. The protection is gone. God is here among us on the loose. Now, isn't that also at the heart of the Christmas story? The old borders between earth and heaven have been breached and torn apart, and our false sense of protection is gone. For God in Christ is here among us, on the loose. And this God is everywhere, on the margins of power, in the back streets of our cities, as unnoticed, often as a plain brown package, and yet as always the most precious thing in the world. To have this type of Christmas perspective changes everything. It's surprising and a little bit unsettling if we're honest. Mayor Bill Peduto went undercover recently, and he met people in Pittsburgh who had hard jobs and in many cases personal trouble. But in the ways of Hollywood and feel-good TV shows, if you saw his episode of Undercover Boss, you know that it ended with gifts being handed out, donations, scholarships, promotions, all done to, well, to choke us up and make us smile through our tears. But when the cameras were turned off, the question still remained. Was anything done so that other social workers beside the one on the show, the ones busy helping people get out of poverty, was anything done to make sure that they're paid enough so that they can afford a home of their own too? Was anything changed so that the maintenance man working in the housing project not only gets more help around him, but did the elected officials say they would do more things citywide to get people into homes with dignity instead of having to live in places of concentrated poverty whose doors have to be constantly repaired and whose walls with graffiti must constantly be painted over? You see, we retell the stories from over there, shootings in Ferguson and chokeholds in Staten Island, because by looking at those unnoticed places more closely, we begin to ask ourselves, if God is on the loose in the world, do our lives reflect that fact? We grieve over police officers being shot, even as we pause to consider whether the mentally ill and the troubled are adequately cared for, and wonder how many people are putting themselves at daily risk just to protect us. We see a wounded vet go by with a prosthetic arm or leg, and then we remember how our choices put young women and men in harm's way every day, and still so many of these brave souls answer that call courageously. Christ is on the loose, and He's often not where we expect Him to be. He's the diamond hiding in plain sight. And even our secular Christmas stories remind us of that surprising good news. 50 years ago, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer first aired on NBC. So where does Rudolph end up when the world rejected him? If you remember the story, he was on the island of misfit toys, but it was the misfit deer and Herbie, a dentist elf, who end up saving the day. Consider the other examples that we read about earlier. Frosty the snowman looks like a regular snowman until a special hat and eyes of love turn him into something magical. The Grinch couldn't steal Christmas with all of its packages, boxes, and bags, because Christmas will always be, as long as we stand heart to heart and hand in hand. What about I Saw Mommy Kissing Santa Claus? All right, there's absolutely no moral message in that song. But in the other quotes, what if the wise men truly brought us gifts this year, not of frankincense, but of common sense? What if, as Bob Hope suggested, we honored the heart of Christmas by loving one another more than just one day a year? What if we truly believed what the Apostle Paul wrote long ago? No eye has seen, nor no ear has heard, nor the human heart conceived what God has prepared for those who love the Lord. What if we stopped looking to Washington, D.C. and Moscow and to Fox News and MSNBC and to Amazon and Google and Netflix and Facebook for what they determine to be most important in the world, and we finally look hard at the little Bethlehems around us in the world today? If we finally take time to notice where that bright star happens to be leading us. If we listen once more for a baby's quiet cry, heard somewhere over there, somewhere off the beaten path. God in Christ is on the loose. And that's the surprising good news of this day. Christ can be anywhere, like a diamond passing right by us in a plain brown paper box. Christ can be anywhere, bringing hope into every dark corner of this world, bringing new life and forgiveness of sins to every one of us. Because Christ is here and out there. And that's the surprising good news of Christmas Eve. For born to us this day is a Savior, Christ the Lord, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. For that good news, thanks be to God. Amen.